Hi, I'm Mary McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is the unrivaled master of the jazz harmonica, Toots Thielemann. His trademark style and the tender sound is recognized all over the world. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm still here to talk about a lot of things, you know.
You know, you just...
Especially about you, I want to talk.
It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yes. And I heard the name McPartland by your husband, Jimmy McPartland, during the occupation in Belgium, during World War One, Two.
Well,
sorry about that.
Please. Well, that's right.
And then Jimmy, you know, stopped by. He was in the American forces liberating Belgium.
That's where I met Jimmy, was in,
yes.
In Eupen.
Oh, he was so sympathetic. I mean, he was much, very friendly, wide open face and smile.
Sure. I miss him a lot. But, you know, I remember so well you, when you came over here, sitting at the bar in the Hickory House.
Yes, that was 19.
About 52.
The end of 51, yes.
Boy. And it just seems like a minute has gone by. And
yes,
here we are
frightful.
Again. And we're sitting here, and I'm dying to hear you play. What do you think you'd like to play to open with?
Well, we'd like to start with Stella by Starlight.
Great. It's one of my favorite tunes. You know millions of tunes, that you picked one that's one of my favorites. Where did you learn these when you were living in Europe? Where did you hear?
Well, we, you know, as you were in England, I was in Belgium, and I was already in the 40s. We knew all the songs, you know.
On the radio?
On the radio, we were listening to the English radio programs like Whistle While You Work. You
know? Yeah.
Da-da-da, when they went to all the factories at noontime.
Right. I was there.
I know.
That's where I heard all these tunes. I mean, probably like you, I think I know millions of tunes, and you probably do too.
Yes.
I can imagine there's not a single tune that you don't know.
Well, there's quite a few, but here and there is a rare one.
You've done so many things in your life. But after I saw you at the Hickory House, now that's when you joined George Shearing, right?
Right after that. And I was in this country about a year. And then, while I was waiting for my union card, you were very hospitable. You and Billy Taylor also.
He was playing
at Hickory House. He played also. And there was a club called the Downbeat.
Right.
On 54th Street.
A cute little club. That's where Billy was playing, right?
Yes. And then I got my union card and started to wait for the phone to ring.
And then it rang pretty soon, didn't it?
Well, Tony Scott, you know, was like a walking chamber of commerce.
Oh, he was.
He was very hospitable also, trying to help some new musicians coming, not only from Europe, but from Chicago, Detroit. He found them a place to stay and jam in and all that. And he introduced me to George Shearing. He had heard that the guitarist with George was called into the army. And he said, "You play the guitar, don't you?" "Yeah, a little bit, yeah." I was, "Well, come with me." And he took me to meet George at the Carnegie Hall. George was playing double bill with Billy Eckstein. And that's how Mr. Shearing heard me, and then he said, "If you can cut the guitar book, you got the job."
God, I heard you many times with George in various clubs.
Well, I was there 6 years. You know, it was my only steady employment.
Well, that's after that you went out on your own pretty much, didn't you?
Waiting for the phone to ring.
Well, I imagine the phone kept ringing, but I mean, you wrote a lot of tunes and played with all kinds of people. Did you go and sit in with different groups?
Yeah, I've played with just Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, Jaco Pastorius, Paul Simon, Billy Joe. I don't know, too much to mention.
It's funny, with your music, you don't, you know, nobody can categorize you or put you into a certain spot. You can play with anybody, any style, right?
Well,
even me.
No, but you are. What I need harmonically is some sort of. George Shearing was. I never was. He was short of
wonderful
inspiration,
harmony.
And it was very interesting.
Well, let's do another tune. Maybe something that George Shearing used to play.
I met George, you know, of course, that evening at Carnegie Hall. And in his dressing room, we played Body and Soul together.
That was like your audition, right?
Yes. So I didn't look for it, but it turned out to be.
Well, let's play Body and Soul for George.
I'll try to remember the introduction I had 50 years ago. Thank you.
That was just beautiful.
Thank you, Maria. Brings back many memories.
I can imagine if that was the first tune that you ever played with George. And do you still play the guitar?
Yes, but I had a stroke. You know, my left hand is not what it should be. I know where the good stuff is, but it takes me too long to go get it.
Well, I guess playing the harmonica is a full-time job, isn't it?
Yes, but somehow my mouth was not affected.
When you were a little kid, you played accordion.
When I was a kid, I played the accordion.
That's yes. The first instrument you ever played?
Yes. I was a big sensation. My folks had a little sidewalk cafe in Brussels.
Oh.
Like the equivalent of the Lower East Side of Brussels.
And,
yeah.
And so you...
And yeah, I played the French songs, you know, for Josephine Baker and all those things.
Oh, that's how you started with all those songs, and then you.
Yes.
But then you heard some jazz on the BBC.
Oh, well, 20 years later, almost.
Well, when you went to school, did you?
Yes, I started to. You see, being a musician was not really a profession, so you need to try to get a diploma, and I wasn't bad. Not outstanding, but not bad in mathematics. So I was aiming for a profession, a degree in mathematics. But Louis Armstrong changed all that.
Yeah, I guess he didn't care that much about mathematics.
I still feel I need that need for explanation when I play. I have an explanation for each note that I play. I know where it goes and where it comes from, you know.
I don't think we're ever going to get an explanation.
No, but it has to function.
It's in your head.
Logically in your
head.
It's
all in your head. You know, we were talking about George Shearing, and we never did his famous Lullaby of Birdland.
Yeah, no, it's, but we always played it as a important sort of public part of the set. You know, that sort of tempo. But it could be a ballad too, shall we?
Let's do it as a ballad.
Not too ballad, but not
sort
too
of
deep into it, but
sort of a walking ballad.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
See, with the harmonica, it's like a singer. My lowest note is the C of the flute, you know, the middle C. But George played it in D minor or something like that.
It's funny. A tune winds up in A flat. That's really one of my favorite keys.
Yes, it's a great song, great trip into the harmony.
It actually is. You can do a lot with that tune. It doesn't have to be like an up tempo. It can just be. It can be a real ballad too. But I like that tempo that we did it. That was really good. Well, we'll have more in a minute with Toots Thielemann. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. I was just thinking something. Did you ever meet Ray Charles?
Yes. But that was late, because one of my longtime friends in the early 50s was Quincy Jones, you know, still is.
When he was...
And then that was when he came to New York. You were in New York, and they started to talk about that. That young cat came from Seattle, and Ranger played third trumpet with Lionel Hampton, imagine. And then...
Who, Quincy Jones?
In 75, Quincy arranged some sort of symphonic work around Ray Charles, and that's when I spent the week. We were fooling around. I was sitting on your piano bench where I did that with Ray Charles. He called me, "Mr. T, how are you doing, Mr. T? Come over. Where's Toots?" He wanted me to come sit next to him.
He was such a wonderful man.
Oh, yeah. And that's amazing. I had given him a phone number in Belgium, and then I had moved. And 5 years later, he still knew that. I met him in Montreux at the Jazz Fest. "Hey, Toots, you still have the same phone number?"
You know, we could do a tune for Ray, couldn't we?
Yes.
What could we do, Georgia, or one of the tunes he played?
Why not?
Well, let's play Georgia, shall we?
Yes, I'd love to, Marianne.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
That's such a pretty tune.
Yes, Hoagie Carmichael. Imagine how many songs he wrote.
That
Nearness
was one of
the... You, Georgia, Stardust.
Lazy River.
Oh, boy.
Blue Orchids. We could do a Hoagie Carmichael tribute and not play the same tune for 2 days. Well, we'll have more in a minute with Toots Thielemann. For more information about piano jazz and a list of tunes performed on today's program, visit our website at pianojazz.npr.org. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Just for a change of pace, how about if I play a tune for you?
I'd like to hear that.
I'm going to do one of my own tunes, something I wrote. It's called In the Days of Our Love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Something, I think you'll like this tune.
May I applaud?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's got that minor mood.
Well, that's sort of my mood a lot of the times.
Yes, me too.
I love minor tunes. There's something special about them. And in fact, I think with Mary Lou Williams once said to me, if you're playing in a group and things don't seem to be going so well, if you play a minor tune, it brings you back and everything is okay. So I don't know.
I never met Mary Lou Williams.
You didn't? Well, she was a great...
Yes.
A great player. And she was somebody who always was sort of on the edge of wanting to do something new all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
you also, Maria. You not see things back. No. I hear the voicings you were after, the scales I am after.
Well,
those beautiful altered scales, melodic, the minor sevenths, and the pianistic touch. Thank you, Maria.
Well, thank you. I don't know what they are. I just, but having...
Ah, you know you're good. I mean, you know you're not bad.
Yeah, I know I'm not bad. I know I'm not bad, but I'm not going to rate myself. That would be terrible. But getting to play with other musicians, like playing with somebody like you, that might bring out any good feeling that I have, because you kind of inspire me to...
Well, name one.
Name one. All right, let's see. We've got one right here. You were talking about a ballad. I would love to do maybe September.
Me too.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Well, silly, of course you know it. Well, let's do it. That's going to be beautiful. Thank you. I really love ballads. I could just do a whole set of ballads.
But on a ballad, you can show your musicianship, your lyricism. The heart can speak, the brain can speak, and the fingers can play as fast as you want, but still keep in mind the story at hand, so to speak.
It seems everybody now is just concerned with technique.
Well,
it's... And playing as fast as you can. And I'm afraid...
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes so. It show all the scales you can play out fast. But still, look... Well, there's still a lot of things happening in the newer directions or the fresh material, but I try to play like a singer. I never forget, you know...
The melody.
Like maybe September, you know, maybe September, you know what I mean? You got to respect a little bit of the story, of the mood of the lyrics too, you know.
Well, I think, unfortunately, a lot of them don't know the lyrics or don't know the background of the tune, and there are so many tunes that should be played slowly, and they are just concerned with technique. And
even a fantastic theme like John Coltrane's Giant Steps, you know, that's a great melody if you play
it. It is.
If you try to play it slower. Slower than that, slower. Yes. Yeah, Marianne.
It makes a beautiful ballad. Oh, it took me a long time to learn that tune, because I only had, when his record came out, I just thought it was like a landmark. When that record, but it was so hard to learn the tune.
Shall we play it? One chorus.
Yes, absolutely. You want to do that? Let's do it.
I'd love to.
Okay. Okay, you got it. Well, I never thought I'd find myself playing Giant Steps with you.
You know, when I wake up in the morning, you know, usually about 7:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And I have a harmonica next to my bed, you know, I mean the night table, you know. And I grab the harmonica or I get a yogurt from my lady and I do my Giant Steps and or sometimes I play themes in other keys, like the old Confirmation, usually in F. The old bebop, one of the first bebops.
Sure.
I like to play it in B natural, just to shuffle the keys around in my
That's one tune I don't know. But I could do this with C. How about this one in B? C. God.
Oh,
but you do them in all different keys?
Oh, I try, just to shuffle the cards around a little bit,
Especially on an
instrument like the harmonica,
Boy, and then you
on the guitar, it's just you slide up, you don't even have to think. The position, the pictures on the on the neck of the guitar are the same, but not with harmonica blowing. Some notes blowing, some notes inhaling. You got to be crazy.
No wonder you're always sounding so great.
I have asthma. That helps.
I never heard of asthma helping anybody.
Well, it does. No, it makes me sort of keep accounting of my breath, breath control.
Well, and then you have a mouthful of yogurt, and then you play Prelude to a Kiss.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. Well, there's more coming up with Toots Thielemann. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. Talking about giant steps, he does have one very pretty tune that you probably play, and then Naima.
Naima, I love
Remember
Naima.
That one?
Naima, so, these are traffic lights.
What do you mean?
That means the traffic stops when... And you have to really concentrate. And
actually, that's true.
These are the melodic scales, and with the pedal tones, John.
Yeah, my Coltrane. Bass player says he finds that a very dull tune to play. All he has is
one note.
note.
And then the middle part sort of in a fourth higher lower.
You know all the tunes. How about I think this is another Hoagy Carmichael tune, The Nearness of You.
Oh, yes.
See, I know you like Hoagy, and I love all his tunes.
I shook hands. Should I say he shook my hand? We met once. Oh, I met you. Were there, Sherman Fairchild.
I was
on
just
the west, on the east side.
Yes,
and
the two
that was
pianos.
The day Cy Coleman came with his lyricist, and they did Witchcraft.
Right, Joe Bushkin was there.
And you were there, and Hoagy was there.
And I played with Hoagy.
Oh, you did say that? That's another good 50 years ago.
It was. As a matter of fact, I think that was even in the late 40s. But he used to give these parties, and Hoagy would have a few drinks, and he'd say, and then I wrote.
I did that afternoon.
And then I wrote, and then he'd have another drink and say, and then I wrote. So...
I remember that afternoon, Sherman Fairchild's on the east side here, not so far.
He loved jazz. I'm sure he loved your playing. So anyway, let's do The Nearness of You for Hoagy.
Thank you.
I was just thinking, when you're putting a set together of tunes, would you pick a ballad like The Nearness of You? How do you put a set together for a record?
I don't know. It depends. You know, you try to make a good menu, you know.
That's such a good...
There's some appetizers, there's some main courses, and vamps, and, you know. Well, I try to not just play, quote-unquote, the old standards, but I still look for different and fresh things to play, but...
You can still go back to tunes like
yes.
The Nearness of You. They just last forever.
A sophisticated lady, you know.
But thinking about beautiful tunes, we haven't even touched on your tune that is so world famous, Bluesette. Mm. When did you write that?
Well, it hit me, and it happened. I was doing a concert with Stefan Grappelli
yeah.
in 1962 in Brussels at the university where I tried to become a mathematics teacher. And I was sharing a classroom that was as a dressing room, you know, with Stefan. And I tuned my guitar. And the chords come out and the song, and I was singing. So I took a little piece of paper, music, and I wrote the start of it. Just not to forget it, you know.
Let's play that. My goodness, we've got to play that. But,
yes.
You know, it's been so much fun having you in Piano Jazz.
Oh, I'd love to come back.
And just to hear you play and talk and reminisce. I've had a wonderful time. So
I hear all the things I like to hear.
That's good. I want to do things you like
the
to hear,
harmony.
But I want to play your tune. So come on, let's play. Let's play
okay.
Bluesette. Thank you. That tune is so wonderful. It's like you. It's just got your personality in it.
Yeah.
I loved having you here on Piano Jazz.
I'd love to come back, Marianne.
Okay.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marianne McPartland. Her guest today has been Toots Thielman. Join us each week at this time when Piano Jazz brings you other outstanding artists for an hour of conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer, Duke Marcos. Assistant engineer, Chinook Kang. Mastering engineer, David Mitchell. Production coordinator, David Lyon. Executive producer, Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Jazz Times Magazine, now celebrating its 40th anniversary of delivering jazz news, insight, and opinion at newsstands everywhere and on the web at jazztimes.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.